Hello, everybody. I'm Michael Monaco.
And I'm Bobby Salvis, and we are the Hazmat Guys, bringing you knowledge and insight to make your job a little bit easier and safer.
Let's get to the show.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Hazmat Guys. I'm Bobby Salvis, and I'm here with Mike. Hi, Mike.
Hey, Bobby.
And we are bringing on a special guest, a long and dear friend of ours, Doug. Welcome to the show. Doug is from Blackline Safety, but I would be doing a disservice if I gave them your background because it is impressive. Why don't you share a little bit about your background and what Blackline Safety is talking about today on the show?
Yeah, I appreciate that, and I appreciate the opportunity to speak with you all today. Again, my name is Doug Mayer. I'm with Blackline Safety. So in full disclosure, we are a manufacturer of personal and area gas detection instrumentation. My background goes back to about 1985. And I first got into the supplying components of personal protective equipment and instrumentation, things along that line for general industry. And one of the things that I really took an interest in the personal protective equipment side of the equation was working with some of the hazmat teams, New York Police Emergency Services units, which may hit
We've heard of
for
them.
You guys up there in the Northeast, of course. Yep. You know, it was really something that I guess brought me into the hazmat world initially. I joined a company then that was more focused on instrumentation. I ran a couple of instrumentation service and repair facilities down in the Southeast, Oak Ridge, Tennessee, Atlanta, Georgia. And it really brought me full circle into providing instrumentation across the board for a variety of different customers, environmental related, hazmat response team related, and things along that line. I left the company after 12 and a half years to join a manufacturer, a well-recognized manufacturer of gas detection. We won't go into the details as to who that might be, but I've had a lot of experience in working with hazmat teams, emergency response teams, the Army civil support teams, providing not only the instrumentation, but also the training on such instrumentation. About 3 years ago, I joined Blackline Safety. I was really intrigued with the innovative nature of what they were providing to the marketplace. As technology changed from the typical wireless, wireless gas detection devices, the cellular connected and satellite connected devices really seemed to be the wave of the future. Blackline certainly had a long history of providing such connected devices. And as they were moving into the gas detection component of it, it really intrigued me, not only from the personal protective side of the devices, but also into the area monitoring. So we've got you know, not only the hazmat and emergency response side, but also facility protection for chemical industries and things along that line. So it's been a long 30-year career, really focusing on the health, safety, and environment for the equipment provided.
Well, then let me ask, there is a concept that has, over the course of the past couple of years, within the industry side of things, has really seen tremendous amount of growth. And we're only just starting to see it creep into the hazmat world, you know, in the fire safety and hazmat world. And that is the concept of connected safety. Do you think you could shed a little bit of light on the connected safety and how it really is something that we could benefit from?
Yeah, certainly. So, you know, initially and going way back to the early days of gas detection, obviously providing a safety component for those that are using it, the connected worker safety has taken the next step forward from a standard flash and beep type of detector, which would alarm at the user level only. It evolved into wireless technologies where you might have radio communications going back and forth, and then into the mesh network capabilities of other manufacturers. Blackline Safety's connected worker devices are direct instrument to the cloud data reporting, as well as alerts being provided to recipients on the other end. In the hazmat world, that would typically be the incident commanders or the emergency operations center. So the devices that we're providing, both personal detectors as well as the area monitors, are transmitting that data via cellular or satellite connectivity directly to the cloud. That enables people on the in the incident command center or the emergency operations center to be viewing what's happening real time there on scene.
Wow.
So it's taken a leap forward for sure.
So you're really giving the people a broader, big picture knowledge of what's happening in real time.
That's exactly correct. Yes.
What do you, just a side note, like, what do you find? You said both cellular and satellite. What are you finding as a better technology? Are you seeing that the satellite? I mean, you're seriously saying talking to space, yes. And cellular is kind of like talking to the nearest pole. Do you find it as a different? I'm just, my mind is kind of wrapping around this thing. Do you find it as a difference, or is there a benefit to one versus the other?
Well, it depends on the application. You know, if we're talking about a typical hazmat spill where you've got a cellular connectivity capability, which is in, you know, probably 90% of all areas, you're going to have connectivity and the stability of the cellular connection to be able to transmit that data, right? Where satellite may be used could be in areas such as venue protection, where you might have your devices being enclosed or in some sort of enclosed environment, right? So there may not be any cellular connectivity there, and that's where the satellite may come into play. Additionally, in those types of applications, such as venue protection, you're going to have people, 100,000 people, 50,000 people, whatever the case may be, also using your cellular phones.
Right, so choking it out.
So there may be, you know, you may get stepped on from the cellular connectivity and the reliability of that data that's so important going back to incident command.
Yeah,
so that's where a satellite can come into play, for sure, or in extremely remote locations where there's no cellular capability.
That's cool. So, all right, how do you implement this connected, like, you know, this whole safety net thing into response operations like fire and hazmat crews? What would be your plan? Like, what are the most important aspects for the response to focus on?
Yeah, well, as I mentioned, the reliability certainly is first and foremost. You want to be able to provide the wearers of the devices the capability of providing the data from the instrumentation back to incident command. They've got a job to do that's focused on, you know, resolving or remediating that particular incident. So, you know, with their focus on that, they shouldn't have to necessarily rely on looking at their gas detectors. They've got people in the incident command or the EOC that can basically guide them in that respect. So that's one aspect. Mm-hmm. Second aspect of it is certainly going to be the speed at which you can deploy the instrumentation, right? Nobody knows exactly, because of the unknown scenarios with hazmat spills or some type of unknown incident, what's occurring at that incident. So being able to adapt on the fly is another component of it. But being able to rapidly deploy the instruments so that that information can get back to incident command is really one of the most critical features. What's currently on the market now, you know, we've heard voice of customer coming back to us that the reliability is one thing, but also the speed of deployment. Sometimes it can take them up to an hour to deploy the solutions that they're using. But the Blackline solution, simply turn the instrument on, and it's communicating back to incident command within minutes. So it's really an advancement from that standpoint.
That's crazy.
So it's funny, because me and Bob were just recording another episode where we were talking about preparation in things going wrong. When we start to take a look at those concepts, and if we start to break them down a little bit further, how can this technology prepare us for the response? Basically, how can the connected safety help the crews better prepare for the incidences ahead of them?
So really, you know, when you take a look at breaking down the components of an emergency response, one of the first things we need to look at is from the emergency responder standpoint, okay, they're often the first ones on the scene. Either you've had somebody report an incident or what have you to the fire department saying, hey, we smelled something bad, or there seems to be an incident, there's a spill, a tractor trailer overturned, you know, it's got chemical placards on it. So the responders are the first ones on the scene to take control of a potentially hazardous situation. So during those moments, preparation is vital. And in the preparation aspect of things, you've got to take a look at what the critical components are. Gas detection is one of those critical components from which the responders will make decisions, right? First and foremost, we want to make sure that we're relying on or securing the safety of the first responder. That's first and foremost, because without them, the incident won't be resolved. Secondly, with that, you're looking at the possibility of protecting the community, okay, or the need to protect the community. So trying to evaluate what's happening on site is critical toward both of those ends, safety of the first responders and then the community at large. Okay, so going back to the deployment of the devices, it's critical that there be some speed of response, speed of deployment, and the reliability of the information coming from them. So additionally, as you know, crews and the incident command receive more information about the incident, they're able to make better and more sound decisions as to how to remediate or rectify the situation. So with our devices, we've got the capability of, you know, I guess you can respond with a typical sensor configuration. We call it the common four, right? Or the right. Standard four, O2, LEL, CO, and H2S. With our devices, we've got the capability of changing that sensor configuration on the fly. So as the response team is moving toward the incident and responding to it, they can ascertain from information from others that, hey, you know, we may not have any of those gases present. We may have a chlorine sensor, or we may have an ammonia leak, right?
Right.
So with our devices, you're able to adapt that gas detector or the area monitor to those particular chemicals simply by changing out a sensor cartridge on your way to the incident.
Wow.
Okay. So, yeah, that's pretty cool stuff, because that that expands the whole metering capability by, you know, multiple fold.
And is that something that is easily doable? And I don't mean to sound a little stunned at that, but the ease of that is really plays a role, because we've attempted to have sensors like that in the past through other manufacturers, and it became mm-hmm. such a process to constantly keep the sensor, you know, quote unquote warm. It had to be plugged mm-hmm. in. It had to be this. It had to be that. What is the ease of that ability to swap?
Right. So because our sensors are incorporated into a replaceable cartridge, okay, having spare cartridges with different sensor configurations in them warmed up all the time, the ease of replacement is a matter of 2 minutes.
It's like changing the battery on a drill.
It's like changing the battery on a drill for the most part, yes.
Our
personal devices and our area monitors utilize the same cartridges. So you can switch from, you know, a personal device and switch that cartridge over to an area monitor, or you can have just an assortment of different pre-calibrated cartridges on standby so that if the situation changes in scope, you've got at least the capability to change them out
That's huge.
It just clicked with me.
We believe so.
So the guts, the brain, the laptop, I don't want to say it's a real laptop, but the brain of the
central
meter
processing
is the same.
Unit.
Yeah, and you just flip out these these modules.
Yes.
That's crazy. That's revolutionary. I like that.
That would take the metering abilities to the next level, to be able to turn around and, you know, take different sensors, be like, all right, I walked in with this, I got nothing, let me come out, let me change out my sensors, walk in again and see what kind of hits that I'm getting.
Yeah, sorry. Exactly. Wow. And the nice thing is you don't have to open up the instrument or the box to, you know, expose the electronics in any way, shape, or form. It's a matter of taking a couple of screws out, you take one cartridge off, you put another cartridge on, you put the screws back in, and you're back and ready to go. You know, as we continue to develop our product offering, if you think about what else could be possible at a venue protection scenario, what else might be needed in a venue protection scenario, you know, there's all sorts of potential hazards that could come into play, whether it be radiation, whether it be chemical weapons, things like that. So, you know, over the course of time, think about where we may be going with the possible integration with those types of devices as well.
So when we talk about incidents, right, we're talking about using this product at an incident. I'm starting to see that there's the beauty of where the meters that I'm currently using, I read. And so my misinterpretation of a unit or whatever could lead to something going wrong. You know, when you have connected safety, which is pretty much what your meters do, not only is the operator seeing it, but other people are seeing it, right?
Yes, absolutely. Real time. Yep. Not only from the gas detection readings, but we've also got GPS enabled capability in our portable and area monitor devices. So we can see, incident command can see not only the gas data, but also where the location is. So that can help help make some really informed decisions, right? It's great.
Wow.
And that's one thing,
especially
that
when
really
you start talking about plume modeling and things moving around.
Well, you're reading between the lines, which is very good. You know, again, as we grow the product out, I will not confirm nor deny that we'll have that capability.
That's great. I mean, you could do so many things with that now. Like, you can set up perimeters. Man, I'm wrapping my head around it. Like, I don't want to call it a hack, but like, I can think of 30 operations where we can improve on by using not only the GPS, but other sets of eyes on my meter. And then I'm even thinking, like, if I'm a small department and I can't afford six different meters, well, now I can because the guts are the same. I just change out the modules. Like, that's a huge cost improvement for me.
Well, Bob, think of like a large scale incident, right? And if I was able to sit down and just have an idea of what was happening in that incident, instead of waiting for somebody's meter to alarm and then reading those alarm levels, sending them in to me, getting their location as an incident is getting bigger and bigger, to be able to do that in real time, imagine the time savings of being able to expand and contract an incident based upon real time information and not worrying about somebody having to relay that information from one person to another. Like, I can instantly see, oh wow, hey, look, this sector over here is starting to increase their readings. Maybe I need to figure out or let somebody know, hey, listen, sector B is starting to increase their readings. What's going on? Even before it's alarming, somebody is constantly looking at those numbers.
That's good stuff.
Right. And then that's part of the solution that we're continuing to roll out. You know, we've had the personal gas detectors on the market for several years. Very successful in displacing competitive products in the oil and gas market in a variety of different vertical markets. until we came out with the EXO, the area monitor, earlier this year, you know, I didn't necessarily feel that we had quote unquote permission to entertain the fire departments and hazmat response teams because we didn't have a complete solution. And now that we've got the complete solution, and a much better solution because of connectivity capability, the reporting of data to the cloud, the reliability of the information going to the cloud, the reliability of the connectivity from cellular and or satellite, it's really made a vast improvement with what resources are available to the first responder community.
Does this information get saved? Like, can I use the data collected for post-incident analysis?
You hit on a very, very good point. Part of the feedback that we've been getting from the customers is one of the weaknesses that most of the first responder community has is keeping their folks trained and up to date. So if there's an incident response that takes place where they're using our devices, they've got the capability to look back at that incident with all of the data that's been collected from it to do a post-incident evaluation as to how they performed, what they could have done differently. So we definitely incorporate that component to the first responders. From a training perspective, it's critical. They've got to stay up to date on how they do respond. And the Blackline analytics is a component or one of the reporting mechanisms that we provide for those responders.
That's crazy. Even the fact that, like, after the operation's over, you're like, don't everybody turn off your meter. We got to look at the peaks.
Right. I got to see what it says before you turn it off. And they end up turning it off. And then that
information's
gone. Yeah,
they turn it off anyway because things beeping and everything.
But what have I got? I've got the highest reading that they got.
Right.
Yeah, but even if it's an extended response, okay, you've got a switch out of teams. What does that second team coming into the incident have to base their movement forward with, right? With our analytics and data that's been recorded, they can always take a look and see what any kind of trending information was, again, to make a more informed decision as to how they're going to move forward with the rest of the response.
So those teams could look back to the prior data while the information is still being collected?
Correct. Yep.
Wow.
That's got to be a lot of data. Like, you guys, you know, every single device is collecting all this, like, raw data. And then via cellular or satellite, it's coming back to, what is it, like a command post computer where you can, like, aggregate all this stuff?
Yeah, basically it's an internet connectivity. It's a portal that you can log into, you know, different authorized levels of interaction with the portal will give different levels of or different capabilities of access to the data, right? So you can take a look at individual devices. You can take a look at groups of devices. It's a comprehensive tool that's available to those that need it.
So then if I have units that are on scene while I'm responding, I could just log in and I could see what's happening as I'm responding to that incident with members that are already on scene, given
exactly
the right access and all that stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. As we develop the, let's say in a mutual aid event, right? If various fire departments and hazmat response teams, emergency management agencies, CSTs all come together for a much larger incident, what they've got the capability of doing is assuming control of the assets of another team. So they have more assets at their disposal to give them even greater visibility of what's happening on site. If that makes sense.
I gotta look into this a lot more now because I'm really intrigued by playing with this thing. We're going to have to get our hands on this thing. But, you know, before
we'll get up to you.
This is probably the hardest question. What's that?
I say, we'll get up to you at some point. give you a hands on.
Perfect. Perfect. You know, you guys at Blackline are really cutting a new carpet here, if you would, about the way it's getting done. And I'm really kind of excited. I'm hoping, I don't want to say they steal your idea, but I'm hoping everybody starts doing this because this is such a good idea to do. I hope you guys trailblaze it up. I think it's going to be a great thing. Like, before we wrap this thing up, this whole conversation, and I can really get into looking more at this product. Anything else that you want to throw out there about it?
Yeah, I think one of the things, you know, I'm going to harp on, and that is the reliability of the connectivity. With the current technologies that are on the market right now, there seems to be, I guess, a frustration. If hazmat teams had the ability to deploy instrumentation without much of a hassle on a more routine basis, it would solve a lot of different problems. First and foremost, I think, would be the reliability, the training, the consistency, the capability of feeling comfortable with the devices they're deploying. Cellular and satellite connectivity, we can take our devices anywhere. Okay, I can have devices deployed in California and see that what's going on site from New Jersey or New York. You've got the capability of really, really taking a look at what's happening across the world from our cellular and or satellite connectivity. Current technologies are somewhat limited in that if they're using a mesh network as an example, and you've got a big tanker truck that parks in front of it, you may have a break in that mesh network. So you'd be losing the data from that particular point until that vehicle moves. We don't experience that capability. There are some limitations, as we mentioned, right? You've got cellular reliability from being stepped on from large crowds. And there's technologies out there that will help us minimize any of that. You know, AT&T has their FirstNet band 14. So if you think about where we could be going with that, it's certainly an alternative to where we take priority over any other cell phone activity.
Well, I do want to touch real quick on what you said about the ease of connectivity, because the concept of being able to transmit information to a central location, it's clearly not new, but I can absolutely 100%, and I'm thinking, Bob, of our system for radiological this, and it is like a 15-step process to connect the meter with Bluetooth to the cell phone, to the data, to the program. And literally, we trained on it last year. I cannot remember how to do it at this point. It's been a year. There's so many different steps involved. I can definitely attest to the fact that if you have something that is firefighter friendly to the point that they just kind of plug it in or turn it on and it's going to do the work for them, that is a breakthrough in the ease of technology that will just send that absolutely to the top.
Well, that's exactly true. And, you know, when we start demonstrating to the fire departments and, you know, they compare it to what they're using now, we definitely have a wow factor. It's a fun product to sell. And looking at the responses of the first responder community, they're totally amazed at where technology has come. We have definitely leapfrogged any other technology that's on the market today. We have... we'll be even furthering our advances over the course of time.
Well, we're looking forward to it.
You've got something good in the. I can see the smile. I can see the smile on his face. He so wants to talk about it, and I so want to like push that button to hear what is exactly going on. But I guess that'll have to be for another episode.
We'll keep you both in the loop for sure.
Well, Doug, like I'm sure there's going to be questions. How? And this is always the hardest question, is how do they get in touch with you or somebody from Blackline to get more information and check this thing out?
Well, I can give you my direct phone number. It's 865-776-9897. You can also reach out to blacklinesafety.com. There's a lot of information on our website, both on the personal and the area monitoring devices. We have an extremely extensive blog where there's videos of all sorts of different aspects of our devices. Just reach out, and we'd love to, chat with anybody who wants to take a further look.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Doug, for coming on, and we'll definitely be catching up with you to find out the new stuff.
Fair enough. I'll let you know when I'm up in New York.
Sounds good. Well, that wraps up another episode of the Hazmat Guys.
You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and our YouTube channel at The Hazmat Guys, and take a moment to call our comment hotline at 843-628-1484.
And we are always looking forward to your feedback about information or interesting incidents that you are a part of, so send us a note at feedback@thehazmatguys.com.
Remember, guys, don't just get on the job, get into the job.